This is Inside Wealth, the ultimate disclosure on Talk 910 KNEW. Living a healthy and happy life is about awakening the matters of your wallet, balanced by concerns of your heart. Now, Stu Zimmerman.
Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to Inside Wealth, where we're talking about the kind of wealth that money alone just can't buy. Yes, we are. You know what it is. It's about a joy for living, because you know, as crazed as this world can be, and for all the reasons that we could have either anger, disappointment, sadness, fear or anxiety, even around our money issues, because that goes to the heart of our survival in so many ways. Even with all of that, still, it is truly a blessing just to be incarnate for however long we are, specifically in this very moment. And that's what this show is all about week after week. This joy for living, just really tapping it within ourselves, and this gratitude and appreciation for this very moment. Because truly, on a profound level, that's really all we have. We have no idea how much longer any of us are going to be here. And we really can't go backwards in time, even though with our mind we can always go back and have our regrets. But, you know, it doesn't really serve us too well, does it? So this is really about how we can enjoy this moment, right here, right now. And yeah, to the extent we look at our financial wealth, how can we be the best human beings we can be as we create our financial wealth? So when we're tapping into this inside wealth, we have a great guest today. Stephen Post, PhD, truly a scientist, a professor of bioethics at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio. And he's also the president of the Institute of Research on Unlimited Love. So yeah, love sounds soft and ungrounded and woo-woo and all of that, even though we know in our hearts there is absolutely nothing like it. Well, Stephen is going to bring some science to it all, so we get to ground it with our mind as well as our heart. And he's the co-author of a fantastic book, Why Good Things Happen to Good People, the exciting new research that proves the link between doing good and living a longer, healthier, happier life. Yay! We actually have science on our side, too. So we'll talk with the good doctor, Dr. Post, real briefly, in a few minutes. And we also have with us later in the show on our winning business segment, Jonathan Bonanno, the Green Bonanno, president and chairman of Principal Power, who's going to share with us a little more of his insight in terms of renewable energy, going green, and what's going on in the world there. And that it truly is a winning business because, you know, nobody has to lose. But before we get to Stephen and Jonathan, we have this week's heaping helping, and this is an energetic one, bowl of stew. Yeah, we're deciding to go with this energy food, this energy drink of stew this week because have you noticed those energy prices? Have you noticed? How does it feel? How do you feel when you drive by the pump and it's like a stock price in a bull market, where every day or every week you drive by and there's an uptick? 387 is the best I can do unleaded right now. How about you? You know, have you noticed? And if you have super unleaded, you can't get it under 4. You just can't. At least not in this neighborhood. How does that feel to you? And do you really think this is as high as it's going to go? Or what do you think? Do you think it's really going to go higher? Do you notice that you're filling yourself, your pump, you're going to the pump a little more regularly to try and sneak in and get this $3.87 a gallon, even if you have half a tank, because you know next week is going to be $3.95. I find myself doing that. Of course, we all like a bargain, right? And we're all, you know, we are in this energy crisis of a form. But, you know, with respect to inside wealth, we're going to take a look at the energy crisis, not in terms of fossil fuels, at least not immediately, but rather about our own energy. Because when we distill all of it down, that's all we really are. We're just these energy waves. And the quality of our life and all of it just is really ultimately based on our energy. How much life force we have within us. And how good we feel about what we have and who we are in the moment, right? That really is the wealth. And so have you noticed where your energy gets depleted every day? And I don't know about you, but almost everybody I talk to, the to-do list is running really high these days. And so I ask people, as we're running around with all this to do, with so much of it around money, and even the rest around, let's say, doing things for the kids. So if you have any children of age that, you know, need to be at soccer practice, little league, dance, ballet, karate, extracurriculars, let alone all the stuff going on with school and everything else, you know, it's easy to live in a schlepper colony, if you know what I mean, where all you're doing is schlepping around and everything. And it just seems like it just takes so much energy from us. And I'm inviting you to take a look at your own energy. And I'll take a look at mine, because I'm not sure if you've noticed that there's a true energy crisis with all of us relative to how much energy it takes every single day in what we'd otherwise call life as usual, in terms of how much we find ourselves proving or defending ourselves with others. Have you noticed? And how much we judge each other and or others, and even ourselves, and how much energy that takes and time that takes and what that does to our lives. It takes us away from all the other things we could be doing. Dare I say, loving each other or enjoying living longer, healthier, happier life, as Stephen Post would refer to in a little bit. So for me, I'll give you a perfect example. Okay, my daughter's bat mitzvah was in January, and a lot of pictures were taken. And of course, this was a high ticket item in terms of how much it cost. And of course, it's so easy to take a look at, oh my God, it's costing X, or, you know, or 2X more than I thought it was going to be. And we all have those experiences, right, of going to a place of fear simply about the whole money thing. We all do. So taking it a step further, one of the expenses of this bat mitzvah, which is reasonable, and you probably had this too for any event of any meaning in your family's life, are the photos, right? So my ex-wife, you know, God bless her, she was the one who took care of a lot of the details. So here it is. I've got the full disc of all the photos from the photographer, and they were amazing. God bless. Came out really wonderful. And then it was time to get the album, okay? So here I am. They asked me to select which photos I wanted. And, you know, I got to tell you, I did drag my feet a little bit. I admit it. I dragged my feet a little bit. I thought I had some time, and I thought they wouldn't do anything without my approval. Not. I was absolutely wrong. Because all of a sudden, I was just handed, and here is your photo album that my ex-wife created. She selected the pictures. And it was amazing how many pictures of her current husband are in there. And amazing how many people of her friends and family, her friends I didn't even know, are in my album for my keepsake for all time. So every time I get to look with such fond memories from my daughter's bat mitzvah, I see all these people. I have no idea who they are. Well, don't you know, I started getting a reaction. As I started to feel the hair on the back of my neck start to stand, as with each turning of the page and each person, I had no idea. I guess they were at the party. I had no idea who they were. It gave me a place to go into real judgment. Here she is, my ex-wife again. You know, she's going to be that the witch that she is, or frankly, something that rhymes with witch, if you know what I mean. Go to a place of judgment and get to a place of anger. And you know, with one breath, I just realized, you know, everybody is simply doing the best they can. And you know what? Maybe she's not. Maybe she did to try and push my buttons. You know, that's a real possibility, and it's certainly been a pattern of ours. And it's certainly an opportunity for me to go deeper and just say, you know what? It's still a blessing to be alive. There are so many beautiful pictures of my daughter and our family with her, of the people I do know and love directly and everything else. And why not focus on that? And it's simply a matter of where I place my attention. And I noticed when I started getting angry how much energy started draining from me. and how much less energy I would have. And it's so easy. I could see all of a sudden calling my sister and calling my mom. Could you believe what she did? Blah, 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 blah. And get we all get into this kind of, outrage together and have a kind of bonding session around the outrage. A lot of us do that. A lot of us could go to gossip and I go to my friends and get all the sympathy for, how right I am, how wrong she is, yada, yada. We all do that. We all have history doing that. And I'm inviting you to consider to leave it as history. Because we can cut right to the choice. And we are loving, good beings at our heart. And some of us are doing the best they can, some of us aren't. And yet it doesn't change who we are. So take a look in the areas in your life where you're finding yourself a need to prove and defend your goodness. And just let it go, if you can. And let go of the judgments, because you are good. And you do have inside wealth. And you are this loving being. And that's something that nobody can take from you. With that, we have Stephen Post, PhD, and author of Why Good Things Are Happening to Good People. He's also a professor of bioethics at Case Western in Cleveland, and the president of the Institute of Research on Unlimited Love. Yay, yay, yay. Dr. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us today on Inside Wealth.
Thanks, Stu. It's a delight to be with you and everybody in the Bay Area.
So tell us, before we get into the meat of love and why good things happen to good people, what exactly is bioethics?
Well, I'm not even sure, but it has something to do with how people get treated in medical environments, how we make decisions across the board from the beginning of life to the end of life. But you know what? If you ask somebody right out there on the street, what's the biggest problem, the thing that upsets them most about healthcare, they would probably tell you, Stu, they felt like they were a piece of meat. They were over-biologized and over-objectified. They were the kidney in room three. And all the compassion, all the kindness, all the love that you just spoke about wasn't there for them in a 15-minute visit. And that's really hurting people, both the ones who receive care, but also the ones who give it.
Mm. So this is quite a science you're in, and thank you for showing up in it. You've actually been researching and writing about the power of love now for decades.
That's right. That's right. Well, I had a mom, an Irish mother named Molly McGee. That's pretty Irish.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid growing up on Long Island, and I'd have a kind of a blue, lonely day, she'd always say, "Now, Stevie, why don't you go out and help someone?" And I would. I'd go out and help a neighbor rake the leaves or pull a boat out of the bay for winter. And I always sensed that there was a kind of buoyancy that I experienced in just the small little helping activities that, we're all capable of and that we all do every day. Somehow, my mom's little bit of kitchen table wisdom captivated me, and I've been able to stay with it both in research but also at times even in practice over the course of my years.
So this is what led to, maybe your most recent book, in terms of why good things happen to good people.
And That's right.
Taking the scientific approach. And you talk about giving as being the most profound force on the planet.
That's right. And, I have nothing against Rabbi Kushner, whom I greatly admire. Bad things happen to good people. No one's denying that. But if you actually look at life and you look at the science, the fact of the matter is that when we live in the generous emotional space of compassion and love and concern, so long as we're not dramatically overwhelmed, we are going to be happier and healthier. And odds are, believe it or not, Stu, we're going to live a little longer.
Well, I think most of us actually do prefer to live longer, if at all possible. But that also is in the context of living healthier and happier, which is exactly the link that you're making here as well, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. People who, over the course of their lives, demonstrate generous purposes, they want to be helpful and concerned about those around them, on average, really do tend to be happier. They tend to be shielded from depression, from some stress-induced illnesses, including cardiovascular disease. And overall, they live a little longer. So, you know, those passages, I think of Ralph Waldo Emerson, no man can sincerely, you know, emphasize sincerely, help himself without helping another. We'll add woman to that phrase, by the way. Or Proverbs 11, those who refresh others are themselves refreshed. There's something about the energy of giving and kindness that is overwhelmingly powerful and goes with the grain of human nature, despite what cynicism we've been taught. And when we can live in that kind of flow, we tend to prosper.
We'll be right back with more from Stephen Post, PhD, about giving, forgiving, and how we can live a healthier, happy life. Right here on Inside Wealth. We'll have more Inside Wealth right here on Talk Radio 910 AM, KNEW, San Francisco. You have a business, a mission, and a message. Inside Wealth can deliver that message to an intelligent, insightful, and mindful audience. Being a sponsor on Inside Wealth, you become an important player in a win-win agreement where nobody has to lose. Invest in your business and your purpose by calling 707-425-2360 or go to InsideWealth.net and sponsor radio that makes a difference. Inside Wealth, the greatest show on earth.
Imagine you're lying in your bed stranded because you can't walk. Your friends and family go about their day, but you're left behind. You can't move without dragging your lifeless legs across the ground, stumbling every step, struggling to carry the entire weight of your body on two arms. This is reality for more than 100 million children and adults worldwide. They simply can't afford the one thing that will change everything, a wheelchair. We're the Wheelchair Foundation. We deliver hope, mobility, and freedom to impoverished people across the globe. And now you can be part of this great mission. A small gift from you can buy a brand new wheelchair and set a suffering person free. You won't believe how little it takes. Transform a life instantly. To make a donation or to find out how you can help, call the Wheelchair Foundation.
Call toll free. 888-378-3839. 888-378-3839.
Are you looking to help give back to the community but need great flexibility? Tony La Russa's Animal Rescue Foundation, ARF, has a flexible volunteer position tailored just for you. You can share in the triumph of helping an orphan kitten or puppy, as well as receive unconditional love. ARF needs volunteer fosters to provide a little extra time or attention until these animals can be adopted into their forever homes. ARF will provide the food, medication, and support, and you provide the love. Check out ARF.net or call 925-256-1-ARF today. Please give puppies and kittens another chance.
Golf Digest is going to cure your slice now, and that's a guarantee. Introducing the breakthrough video, Cure Your Slice Now, and it's free with your paid subscription to Golf Digest magazine. In this video, top PGA instructor Chuck Cook shows you the seven key phases of the swing and gives you his proven method for better control and longer, straighter drives. And here's our guarantee. If Golf Digest and Cure Your Slice Now doesn't cure your slice and improve your game, cancel the subscription and keep the video free. Every month in Golf Digest, you get easy-to-follow instruction from the best teachers and players in golf, information on the top equipment, the best places to play, and you also get the removable Pocket Tips booklet. Call now. Use your credit card and get your first risk-free issue, the Pocket Tips booklet, and the video free. You get 11 more issues for only $19.77. If your game doesn't improve, cancel your subscription and keep the video, booklet, and magazine free.
So call 800-203-3100. That's 800-203-3100.
Here's some more Inside Wealth, the show that truly enriches your life, right here on Talk 910 AM, KNEW, San Francisco. We're here with Stephen Post, PhD, a professor of bioethics at Case Western, also co-author with Jill Nymark of Why Good Things Happen to Good People, the exciting new research that proves the link between doing good and living a longer, healthier, happier life. It's a beautiful thing. So, Stephen, last segment, we were talking about the power of giving. And in the book, you've outlined a number of ways that we can give to family, friends, community, and humanity, those different concentric circles within our lives. Can you give us some examples, please?
Oh, absolutely. There's so many strengths that we have. the best way to be a giver is to focus in on the things that really are your strengths, your natural talents. So creativity is one way to give. The foreword of this book was written by Otis Moss, best known because about 28 years ago in a one-on-one encounter, he encouraged a young talk show hostess to really go positive in her programming, and that was Oprah Winfrey, who describes him as her spiritual mentor. But he talks about being a young minister in Cincinnati. He goes to the hospital where Sister Loyola McNair's got diabetes. She's going to have not one but two legs amputated. He's speechless, but she gets him off the hook. She says, "You know, Pastor Moss, all my life I've used my creativity to help other people. I knit, I sew, I crochet, I cook, and when I get out of this hospital, I'll bake you a cake." Now, she didn't say if, but when I get out. And let me tell you, she dug into that well of her heart, and she came out with an incredible generativity and kindness. She spent many years in a wheelchair doing so much for others and so buoyant that nobody ever felt sorry for her. And that was the power of love at work. So no matter what your situation, you can be a giver. Some people, it's creativity. For some, it's listening. The chapter on attentive listening features Dan Gottlieb, who is a psychologist in Philly. About 20 years ago, Dan, who's a friend, was in an accident. He was left with a spinal cord injury. He's quadriplegic. He's in the rehab hospital figuring out how he can kill himself. Along comes a night nurse. She sits down beside him. "Dr. Gottlieb, I'm really thinking about throwing in the towel on life. Is it unusual for people to think this way at some point?" Dan Gottlieb said, "Well, let me listen to you." And she told him her story, and after about an hour, she walked away feeling a lot better. And he had that aha moment. You know, I can live in a wheelchair because I can help others by being a listener. And now he has a national NPR show called Voices in the Family. People call from all over America because they know Dan Gottlieb listens to him with love, with compassion, and he really hears them deeply, and he gives them the message, you know what, your life isn't some crazy mistake, but it's got significance and meaning that sometimes are beyond our own comprehension.
Mm. We're here with Dr. Stephen Post, who wrote a wonderful book called Why Good Things Happen to Good People. So isn't this giving of ours, isn't that something that is part of our basic human nature, or is this something that we need to learn?
Well, you know, it's both, Stu. That's a heck of a good question, and it's an important one. You know, there are genetic studies pointing out that some people are by nature a little more compassionate, a little kinder, a little more altruistic and giving, if you will, than others. But the key thing is that that really doesn't determine your future too heavily. The main thing is, how are you raised? Do your parents model love? Are they empathic to you? Do they get you involved in opportunities to contribute to the lives around you? Do they encourage you to read and to think about generosity in life? So how we're raised makes a difference. The kinds of institutions we get involved in life make a difference. I love the Montessori schools, Stu, because the older kids, 7th and 8th grade, you know, they're required to go into the lives of the younger kids in the early grades and become their teachers. They read with them. They teach them art. There's this kind of giving built into the dynamic of that educational philosophy. So we need a lot of institutions that don't just educate our minds but educate our hearts through helping us to stumble on the joy of being kind givers.
So what I really hear you're saying in a way is for our educational system, for example, it's about tapping into more than just parlaying and conveying information. And it's really about offering a sense of wisdom and knowing that we're all here together. Having that sense of giving and a culture of generosity is something that's absolutely essential.
Oh, it really is, across the board. And by the way, when you look at life, there's a lot of disappointment. There are a lot of hard times. You look at what we hear in the news and the media today, and sometimes the most negative kinds of events are just repeated 24/7. It seems like all there is in the world is a lot of harshness. But, You know, when I started my institute, one of my friends in Pittsburgh, which is nearby Cleveland, was Mr. Rogers, who some of your listeners know from TV reruns of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Sure.
This guy spent his entire life trying to provide a positive image of compassion and respect for kids watching television. Well, about 2 weeks after 9/11, a reporter from the Times asked him, "Mr. Rogers, what should parents tell their children?" He paused and he responded, "Tell them to keep their eyes on the helpers." And I think that's the lesson. I think that's why this new science of giving, of gratitude, of forgiveness, all of this is really coming into vogue now across the nation, because we realize that if we're going to have a human future worth having, we got to focus not on disease and deficit and all the things that we know represent that kind of shadowy side of our emotional lives, but we need to recognize how to bring out and elicit and give life to that human essence of kindness and of compassion and of active caring in the world.
And if there's good news about all of this, is that we actually have choice, right? I mean, isn't that one of the blessings we have here, is some sort of free will to choose where we place our attention?
We sure do. You know, Abraham Lincoln, they say, was a little bit melancholic. Today we'd say maybe mildly depressed, right? One of his most famous statements, often quoted, is the following. A man, again, we'll add woman, a man is just about as happy as he makes up his mind to be. Whatever your genetic type is, whatever your family background is, you do have a choice. Now, in the Jewish tradition, I am a big fan of Viktor Frankl, who wrote that great book, Man's Search for Meaning.
Yes.
Viktor Frankl, he spent 4 years in Auschwitz as a prisoner. He made real careful observations about the people around him, and he concluded that so long as you determined, as you made a choice, to be compassionate and caring. In his case, it was symbolized by the fact that he shared his meager meal with someone who looked a little hungrier than he was. He said, as long as you had that dynamic of giving, you tended to have more of a chance of getting through things. But when you gave up on the power of love, on the power of giving, he said, typically people gave up on life itself and they tended to die. And that's actually what he argued in his book. And, you know, the point is, doesn't matter what life throws you, you win with love, and you always lose if you give in to the hostility, the bitterness, the rage, the resentment.
We're talking with a PhD here, Stephen Post, and his book, Why Good Things Happen to Good People. You know, Stephen, that's a great reminder for all of us, is that there is a link between doing good and feeling good. And I think one of the things you're offering up for everybody to consider here is how we can begin to take, if we not begin, or take another step, another action step. Because sometimes the transformation, if you want to call it that, to being happier in life comes from within and focusing within and then going about your business. The other way to go about it, it's like from the outside in, is what you're kind of describing here, is just go out in the world and do some giving and have some generosity, whether it's to your family, friends, community, humanity, whatever. And that will return back to you this greater sense of happiness and connection and ultimately living in longevity.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Stu, you got to get out and do positive things, not to be overwhelmed. I mean, there are limits and boundaries and so forth. But the point is that, you know, when you live a generous life, it's really remarkable. Scientists have described very clearly something called the helper's high. Just, you know, 2 or 3 hours of volunteering a week, people come back and they report a high feeling. It's actually based on endorphins, natural opiates that are released by the brain when we act generously. They report a sense of calmness, certainly meaning and purpose. Believe it or not, about a third of them report feeling better physically, and 13% say that they feel freed from aches and pains. And that's been replicated. We got a study, a brain study, that came out in 2006. The researchers took subjects into a lab. They gave them a menu of charities that they could contribute to. When they had that eureka moment, I'd like to give to this charity, they checked the box. lo and behold, the part of their brain lights up. It's called the mesolimbic pathway, but it's associated with joy, and it doles out feel-good chemicals like dopamine and even serotonin. So suddenly, you know, we're beginning to understand, contrary to the cynics, that there is this incredibly powerful dynamic in our natures. This is why even the Dalai Lama gets quoted in the paper sometimes. He says, you know, I almost feel a little guilty about compassion because it actually makes me feel so good. Well, Stuart, you know, we're not appealing to self-interest or to selfishness or to self-help. What we're saying is that as a byproduct or a side effect of sincerely giving and loving the people around us, we inevitably and without exception do feel a kind of flourishing and warmth and fulfillment that changes our lives.
Well, one thing I feel like saying is amen. That's a beautiful thing. And maybe it's a great segue, Stephen, into your work with the Institute of Research on Unlimited Love. Because what exactly is that? Because it sounds like science meets, you know, something else.
Well, you know, it is an interesting title. I got to tell you, Stu, I was sitting in my office here at the medical school at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland in 2001, and I got a fax from a billionaire, a wonderful guy who I'd known for a decade or so, John Templeton. He faxed me, said, Stephen, we need an institute that doesn't just study, you know, diseases, that doesn't look at public health just in terms of hand-washing and avoiding lead paint. Those things are all important, mind you. But he said, we need something that looks really at our greatest assets because public health is so much about how we live our lives. So why don't we study love and compassion and forgiveness and gratitude, and we'll call it the Institute for Research on Unlimited Love. Well, listen, you know, that was fine with me, but I had a little moment of fear being in a medical scientific environment. So I faxed back, Sir John, maybe we should call it the Institute for Creative Altruism. And he faxed back, no, I think Unlimited Love, named something like $5 million. And I faxed back, Sir John, that language jumps right off the page.
Yeah. In fact, in 5 million ways.
It does. It sure does. But, you know, he was right, because altruism is kind of arid and dreary and dry. It's kind of like jumping on hand grenades. I mean, you know, when we talk about love, we talk about a kind of tender, loving care, the sort of palpable qualities, whether it's Helen Keller or Mother Teresa, they talk about small things done with great love. That kind of facial expression and tone of voice, that small smile to the barista in Starbucks, you know, all the small things we can do in the course of the day that just brighten up the world around us. And that really is this kind of love, this ability to affirm the meaning and significance and value of the people around us, especially when they might be feeling that life isn't quite everything it's trumped up to be.
So, Stephen, clearly the name Research on Unlimited Love can conjure up all kinds of thoughts and beliefs. What exactly, are there any projects or anything specifically, briefly, that you can discuss with us?
Well, we funded about 70 projects across the country, all very competitively reviewed by researchers around the world. But right now we have a number of big projects. One, actually, is looking at the very notion of happiness. What do we mean by happiness, and how is it related to giving? So that's a five-year project. It involves about 40 scholars from coast to coast across the United States. We're really asking deeply, what is happiness? It may not be some kind of crazy sensual intoxication where you flame out in life at age 35, some hedonic imperative. It may be that really happiness does come, as the wise people tell us, from having that sense that your life matters, that you've contributed meaningfully to the people around you. And we're studying the epidemiology of goodness. A big study is underway now with about 45 scientists from around the country to really look at the biology of goodness. When we are generous in our emotions, when we're generous in our actions, what's really happening in our immune system? Because we need to understand that, and I think it's one of the major areas for future research.
I just want to thank you so much for being here. We're out of time today, but thank you so much. And we are filled up with good things within our own lives. Thank you so much, Stephen.
Thanks, Stu. It's a pleasure.
We have more Wealth to Share right here on KNEW 910 AM San Francisco. Will, ownership, trust, appreciation. They all work in the financial world. And they are all keys to security and wealth beyond measure. And it's all in our book, Inner Security and Infinite Wealth, subtitled Merging Self-Worth and Net Worth. Hey there, it's me, Stu Zimmerman. Come to our website at insidewealth.net. That's insidewealth.net and order your copy today. That's insidewealth.net. We're blowing the doors wide open on Inside Wealth right here on Talk 910 AM, KNEW, San Francisco. Well, now it's time for our winning business segment, and you know why it's winning business. It's because nobody has to lose. And with us today is the red-hot Green Bonanno, John Bonanno, who knows so much about renewable energy. In fact, he knows so much, he started to create a company now to be an independent provider. It's called Principal Power, where he is the president and chairman of the board. So he's not only a pundit, he's an operator. What are you seeing out there, John, in terms of what's lighting up or potentially dimming in terms of renewable energy in light of the recession that seems to be looming and technology itself?
Well, I think when you look at the global space of clean tech, there's a huge amount of opportunity in this space. A lot of people talk about competition between this PV provider or that PV provider. The honest truth is that there's so much demand and there's so little supply that this is going to be a very, very long and sustainable run. Now, that doesn't mean there's not going to be bumps, like you've seen the ethanol fuel bump in the United States, where it just became competitive with food and your costs started to run up a lot. So there are bumps in the road, and I think there are valuation issues in the space in general. But overall, it's a very, very bright outlook for building and owning renewable energy assets or selling that technology into a market. I think it's very positive.
And by the way, the PV that you referred to is photovoltaic for all the people out there, right? So we're talking solar?
Yeah, standard flat panel, one sun solar.
Mm-hmm. And so are you seeing distinctions now between solar, wind, water, other renewable energy sources?
You know, that's a good question because wind has gotten so much traction at the scale that it needs to be at to drive the costs out. So they're now competing with natural gas-fired power plants, wind projects, because they've gotten to scale and you've gotten industrial partners like Siemens and GE into the game in very, very big amounts of money. You're going to see, and you are seeing it right now, more of solar having that same effect where you have new breaking technology that's driving the costs out and it's bringing it into fossil parity is what it's called with grid and feeding in that electricity at the cost of the fossil production. So you're really getting a competitive environment now. As far as water is concerned, my feeling about water is it's all about renewable energy. So you can create desalinated water from seawater or brackish water if you have 100% renewable energy on production. But if you're using diesel generators to push the water through a membrane, then you're really not going carbon. You're going very carbon positive, actually. So my feeling about water is that it gets solved through renewable energy.
Okay. So in terms of something that could help to illuminate our audience here, what would you suggest they do as they look, let's say, potentially at investment or in certain sectors within the renewable energy? Or do you suggest perhaps just portfolio approach?
No, there are a lot of funds being created right now, publicly traded funds of which a regular old investor can invest in. Private equity obviously has its own risks, so it's not for everyone. But in the private equity space, I think that there's a real trend towards diversification in portfolios. People are looking at waste energy conversion deals, as well as solar deals, as well as wind deals. They're trying to mix and match because who knows what's hot in 24 months? I mean, who honestly knows what's hot in 24 months? I would say probably very few people. A lot of it also depends on the federal government's guidance. We still, in the United States, which is amazing, do not have federal guidance from the administration on renewable portfolio standards or any sort of rebate programs on a national level. So we need to see some guidance, and I think that this election will certainly bring that to bear. It's an important issue, and it will be addressed.
So given that these regulations or incentives at this point are only on the state level, mm-hmm. so what's the state of the state? Let's say of California, for example. Where
well,
are we?
California is doing really well. They have a very aggressive portfolio standard, so they're requiring the utilities to provide a lot of renewable energy to the grid. Many utilities are having their challenges meeting those. No one has hit a deadline yet, and no one has failed yet. I think they're going to be the utilities will be challenged to meet those goals because, again, as I started, I'll say again, which is there's a lot of demand and very little supply. So that means that someone's going to fall short. Just who is that person and what's the penalty going to be is still to be defined.
You know, as PG&E rates just continue to skyrocket for all the obvious reasons, they're clearly having independent people, individuals yeah. go solar or whatever, yeah. make more and more sense, especially as technology drives the cost down.
Yeah.
What's the status there? Do you know in terms of either rebates or tax credits to give people further incentive to install their own?
PG&E is one of the most aggressive utilities in the country in regards to renewable energy. Keiritsu Forum is actually doing our expo in conjunction with PG&E in April at PG&E. And we're doing a huge clean tech section where we're going to showcase four companies, clean tech companies, and we're also going to have, I think, 10 other companies presenting outside of clean tech. But PG&E is taking a very aggressive stance on this, and they're creating internal funds to put forward towards first commercializations of new technology. I take my hat off to the people at PG&E for doing a wonderful job, although their challenge is monumental. They are trying to address it as best they can. So in-state, there's a lot of opportunity for the individual to make a decision to buy a PV solar system for their roof right now.
So that's what you would suggest our listeners consider right here, right now.
Well, it starts with energy efficiency, though. We've discussed this before,
yes.
where turn off the shower. I mean, take a shorter shower. Don't flush every time, if not necessary.
Turn the lights off.
Turn the lights off. Yeah, right. But these are, you know, turn your thermostat down or even turn it off. I mean, we do live in Northern California, which is a very mild climate. So, you know, if your house is 63 or 64 degrees, it's quite comfortable, really. That makes an incredible impact if people just – that's why you see PG&E championing a program like Flex Your Power. FlexYourPower.org is all about PG&E's effort to have people stop their usage or reduce their usage without reducing their performance. Like there's no compromise in their lifestyle by leaving a bit of wee in the toilet for a little while. It's so small, but yet every time you flush the toilet – it's 1.6 on average, 1.6 gallons of fresh water going into the sewer system. That's in a tremendous waste.
And I thought Wii was this game system that my son keeps getting me. Daddy, we need more Wii. We need Wii. Give
That's
me Wii.
Yeah.
John, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today. And everybody out there, if 63 is a little too cool for you, God invented clothes. Yay. Thank you so much. And John, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks, too.
So as we wind up another show here, first I want to invite everybody to consider that this Inside Wealth thing is so tangible. It's so real. The rubber does hit the road in our own lives, and they can even more. One way to do that is to come to our website at insidewealth.net. That's insidewealth.net because we have what we call the Preferral Network, where we have people who take this philosophy of doing well by doing good into their business practices. So we have people like Hutch Ashew at Pillar Financial and John Menke at Menke & Associates, where Pillar Financial manages your money and Menke & Associates creates ESOP, Employee Stock Ownership Plans. So if you're thinking of taking off, you've had enough of your business, call John. He can actually help you to transfer it to your employees. Or if you're creating a business and it's just the right thing to do is to expand your pie by giving more people a slice so that you have a smaller percentage of something huge rather than a larger percentage of something small. So there you go. Rubber hits the road with Inside Wealth. Come to insidewealth.net and talk to our Preferral Network people because they truly are an absolute pleasure to do business with. Which comes full circle, actually, to the premise of this program, because it all synthesizes out, whether it's in the bowl of stew, whether it's with Dr. Stephen Post, who wrote that really wonderful book, Why Good Things Happen to Good People. And if you missed any part of our earlier interview with Stephen, come to our website at insidewealth.net. Yeah, it's one-stop shopping here. You get to have it all. You get to have it all. And as he was talking about why good things happen to good people and the scientific research that proves the link between doing good, between giving, and living a longer, healthier, happier life. Which, by the way, this healthier, happier life thing, what do we call it? Everybody all at once? Inside wealth. That's what we're calling it. There's a scientific relationship here. And John Bonanno, the Green Bonanno, is also talking about the strong financial relationship between renewable energy and profitability, between doing good and doing well, whether it's by putting money in your pocket or whether it's just by enjoying your life and feeling healthier and happier. With the converse being, and we talked about this a bit on the bowl of stew, it's so easy to spend so much of our lives defending or proving ourselves, whether it's in the financial arena or in our relationships. And it takes so much energy and time to do that, which not only does it take away, like on the opportunity cost thing, not only does it take away from all the other things we could be doing in those moments, but it really does drain us. It really keeps us separate from each other. Now, sometimes it actually, we bond. So it's not just you against the world or me against the world. It's us against them. So, for example, when I gave the example in my bowl of stew about getting the bat mitzvah album that had all these people that I would have chosen not to be in there, and still, and clearly I could have gone to my family members and say, can you believe what she did? Blah, 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 blah. You know, or in Charlie Brown, wah, wah, wah. Remember how the teacher used to say, wah, wah, wah. And just go off. Or talk to my friends and start to gossip and start to play a little bit of the victim story or whatever else that is. Or an I'm right and she's wrong. And we all know how that can so often create a sympathy or other gossip. And this is binding and joining about criticizing others, which really is the heart of our electional campaign, isn't it? Isn't that what the whole political process is about? It's us against them. Hillary Clinton. All right, America, I'm going to fight for you. Because, of course, that implies we need to be in conflict. I've got your back. Because you know that that implies that somebody out there wants to attack us from behind. Whoever they are. Just that amorphic fear thing going on. And I'm not just picking out Hillary. I mean, I think we can go to McCain as well, who wants us to be in Iraq for 100 years if that's what it takes. It's just another form of fear. And what Stephen Post is telling us is that there is research, documented scientific research, and they're doing more and more of it. Not just on the power of love, which is a fantastic thing, but just in giving of ourselves, being attentive, helping to improve somebody else's life, releases hormones within us, creates a greater sense of well-being. It actually reduces, in many cases, aches and pains. Could you imagine? You know, it makes you want to start selling your pharmaceutical stocks out there because maybe you don't need so much antidepressant. Maybe we don't need so much pain relief in one form or another because it's so interconnected. The whole mind, body, spirit thing is so interconnected, which only goes to show that deep down, when it really comes down to it, we're just energy ourselves. And I think quantum physics is proving that too. Now, I know there's this whole line of thought out there that it's too good to be true. That how can it really be? Can it really be that easy? Because all of humanity seems like it's endured suffering for thousands and thousands of years since the beginning of time in one form or another, whether it's abuse, whether it's violence, whether it's sexism, racism, you name it, all kinds of inequalities, all kinds of injustices. And that's part of the human condition, and that's just the way it is. And it's us against them, whoever they are. Even our own country was based on a revolution, based upon injustice, based upon, you know, leaving, you know, for religious intolerance and everything else. That's the basis of our country. And we had to fight for our freedom. We had to kill other people, whether it was the Indians on one side or the British on the other, to have this freedom so that all men could be created equal. And we can have these inalienable rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Well, the inside wealth is the presence of happiness. And it's here, right now. And you're going to live longer and happier, focusing on this very moment and how we can be more giving and forgiving. Until next week, invest in yourself, your passions, your purpose, and your planet.
Join us again same time next week on Talk 910 KNEW. And be sure to visit our website at InsideWealth.net. Subscribe to our podcast, blog, or learn more about Inside Wealth with Stu Zimmerman. Thanks for listening. Talk 910 KNEW.
It's amazing how little things can make such a big impact in people's lives, like how a 5-inch landmine can rob a woman of her legs, how the tiniest bacteria can paralyze a child forever, or how a small gift from you can give that person a wheelchair, instantly give them mobility, give them dignity, give them hope. There are currently over 100 million children, teens, and adults in desperate need of wheelchairs, adults who want to go to work so they can feed their family, children who want to go to school, and a small gift from you can help them get there. Funny how a $75 gift from you can be such a big deal to someone else. To offer a donation or to find out how you can help, call the Wheelchair Foundation today. Smile. You're about to change someone's life forever.
Call toll-free 888-378-3839. 888-378-3839.